This is message 9 of the Conference of a Church in Bangkok, October 2013. Verses are Psalm 132.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Once again, we give you the fellowship tonight. Tell him to turn on microphone. May your spirit continue to speak to us and you reveal yourself to us. May your will be done among us. And may the Father be glorified. Amen. So, you're doing a hard work, Dale. I know that this is the first time that the same brother is translating in every meeting. Because this time I felt that we are fellowshipping about the Song of Ascents. And there is a progression that it keeps going upward. It keeps ascending. It doesn't go downward. It keeps going upward. Beginning from Psalm 120 all the way to Psalm 134. On one hand, it's for my sake. If for each psalm I have a different person interpreting for me, sometimes it doesn't flow that well. On the other hand, I feel that the one who interprets a message, I feel that if it's a different person interpreting in every meeting, it's not easy for them to continue the flow. It's truly like that. So I hoped him, I also told the brother, before you interpret, you should go read and read the Psalms a few more times. Because the one interpreting also needs to enter into this burden. So it's good for me. It's good for him also. Actually, it's good for all the brothers and sisters. Because you don't need to listen to a different interpreter for every meeting. You can also get the continuation. That is why I said, you've got to do a hard work. So, are you tired? Is this a little bit? It's good that it's just a little bit. It's best that both of us will go sleep, and then we won't have to work so hard. But may the Lord bless us. I feel that these words in the Psalms, the songs of ascent, are too important. My burden is that I wish to see that all the churches can be ascending by the Lord's grace and His loving kindness and His mercy. More or less, when we receive the word in the Psalms, the Holy Spirit will bring us up. We should not remain at a standstill at the same level. Why is there such a thing as the songs of ascent? because God wants us to continue to go upwards, to ascend. This is very important. The last step is to go to the heavenly Mount Zion. That's why. If you're not on Mount Zion here today, I do not believe that the Lord will bring you up to the Mount Zion in the heavens. It's not possible. If I remain in Babylon today, and the Lord, when the Lord comes back, He'll bring me up to Zion. Think about it. Is it probable? Today I feel that I'm very comfortable here in Babylon. Year after year, I go take a vacation in Babylon. And I love Babylon so much. So when the Lord comes back, do you think He'll bring me up to the heavenly Mount Zion? Would He? I don't think so. I don't think so. That is why today we need to be at the Zion here. The church is the Zion here. Don't run all over the place. Don't be so loose and go anywhere just to do some Christian work. If you want to serve, then you have to do God's work. Thank the Lord. One question asked, how do I know that it is right? That it is, this is what God wants me to do? If you can ask this question, then it's good enough. What I'm afraid of is that you will not ask such a question. I don't have an answer for you. I don't have an answer for you. Because God will give you an answer. If you have a seeking heart, if you have a heart to pursue Him, you pray to this glorious Christ. They say, tell me, wouldn't He speak to you and let you know? He said, he who seeks will find. Yes, if you knock, it will be opened to you. So, if you go ask the Lord with an honest and sincere heart, our Lord is living. He will tell you. Definitely He would. That's why we thank and praise the Lord. Especially the brothers and sisters who have been in the church for many years. Spiritually, individually, and as a church, together, we all have to ascend. I hope that we all can be like this. For many years, we've known each other here. We see each other every year, right? Is that progress? Amen? I believe. There should be. There should be. I hope there is improvement. May the Lord have mercy on us. The Lord have mercy on us. When the Lord returns, we all could go up together with Him. How about that? Amen. Don't go by yourself. You have to wait for me. You have to wait for me. If the Lord wants to take you up, you have to wait, wait, wait. Brother John is not here yet. Do not forget me. We go together. Why? Why shouldn't we go together? How good this is. It's so good. That's why there's such a passage in the scriptures called the Song of Ascents. It's when all the tribes go up together. And here we also have the spiritual reality. Spiritually, we all have to grow. Do not think that this is a teaching. I'm not giving you some teachings here. Truly, I have the burden of the Lord here. Thank the Lord. That's why this morning we read up to the fourth level. And in that passage, we saw the sufferings, the afflictions, going through all kinds of trials, difficulties. It is a very good opportunity for you to mature. Right, truly so. Especially for the church, for Zion's sake. You have to suffer for the sake of the brothers and sisters. You have to be willing to suffer for the church. When you grow spiritually to this degree, then you truly have a part in the building up. If you are not a person who suffers, if you don't suffer for his body, for the body of Christ, for his church, there's no way for you to build. People cannot touch you, and you cannot touch me. Once we touch each other, something goes wrong. So how are you going to build? So at this level, there's truly the condition of the building. All the apostles were suffering for the sake of the saints, for the testimony of the Lord. It's good to suffer a little bit, right? The parents all suffer for the sake of the family, right? It's not that the children suffer for the sake of the parents. Right? Virasak? Thank and praise the Lord. For Zion's sake, you're willing to suffer. For Zion's sake, you pay the price. For Zion's sake, deny yourself. For Zion's sake, pick up the cross. Bear the cross. But if you're a child, if you're a spiritual child, you can't make it. When you grow in your spiritual life, when your inner man is strengthened, and you live in your spirit, and you learn to live Christ, and you want to follow the Lamb, then you have to deny the self. Yes. So at this time, you change. There's some real change in you. That's why in the Psalms, let's come back to read Psalm 130. Although when we read it, it seems so simple, it's so short. But it's not so easy. I'm sorry, it's Psalm 131. In Psalm 130, you know that you cannot make it, so you cry out to the Lord out of the depths of your heart. So when we come to Psalm 131, you say to the Lord, Lord, my heart is not proud. The proud self is no longer there. The proud soul and heart is no longer there. A person who truly experiences the spiritual maturity definitely would not consider himself as spiritual. No. You would feel that you yourself have nothing at all. And you're not capable of doing anything. You cannot, you're good for nothing. This is not a humility that you have, but it is what you see in yourself. Just like Moses, when he was young, he felt that he was very capable. He had lots of ways and means. He used man's ways. And when he was 80, he said, Lord, I cannot do it. The Lord had to wait until he was not able to do it. When he couldn't make it. So when when the Lord called Moses for him to go, he says, No, you made a mistake, Lord. You've got the wrong person. You better go find somebody else. I cannot do it. I cannot go. Why couldn't he go? I don't know how to speak. I cannot speak. The Lord, God even got mad. Who created your mouth? How come you cannot speak? Did I create a dumb person? Was he humble? No. He truly felt that he couldn't make it. It's only such a person that God could use. It's truly so. Consider this well. When you are capable, God doesn't want to use you. And up until the time that you realize that you can't make it, then God comes to seek you out. That's why it says here, my heart is not proud, and my eyes are not haughty. Meaning to say, my eyes do not look at those lofty, great things to do. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. Because you no longer feel that you yourself are so great and so capable. What I saw in the past was that everybody thought that they were so capable. If you consider yourself capable, this is your problem. What God looks at is different from what man looks at. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I really like this verse. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. In the Chinese version, it says, my heart is calm and quiet, and I'm like a child, weaned child in the bosom of the mother. Don't you think that it's a mature person that would say this? We always think that a mature person would say, oh, I know how to do this, I know how to do that. Very capable, isn't that so? But here it's different. Thank and praise the Lord. Oh Israel, oh church, put your hope in the Lord. Both now and forevermore. Not just occasionally you put your hope in the Lord, but you look to the Lord daily. Thank and praise the Lord. If we can be like this, then we can truly work together or co-work with the Lord. Paul said that he worked more than all the other apostles. But it's not I, but the grace, God's grace that works it in me. He was really resting. Good. This evening we come to the fifth level. When we come to this level, God's goal is attained. Paul said that he kept pressing forward toward the goal. Here we reach God's goal, the consummation. Here you see in Psalm 132, this is David's psalm. David wrote this. He's fully living for God's will. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. The afflictions that we suffer are for God's will, for God's purpose. I repeat, for the building up of the church, there will be sufferings. If you don't look for the sufferings will come to you. But this is a good thing. How he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. I have to ask you, have you ever swore an oath to the Lord? Have you? Have you? No? No? None of you? What does it mean to swear an oath to the Lord? If you see God's purpose, God's heart's desire, His eternal and glorious purpose, what reaction would you have? What reaction would you have? Oh, thank the Lord, I know it. Is this your reaction? Such a reaction of yours is not enough. David saw God's heart's desire and God's need. He didn't say, oh, thank the Lord, I saw it, nobody else saw it. No, deep within him, the reaction was, I swear an oath to the Lord. Because his heart's desire has become your heart's desire. There's no way for me to describe this. If you swear an oath to the Lord, that means to say, you won't change. What does this say here? It's an oath. It's a vow to the Lord. Just like when you get married. Can you change it? Toby? When you got married? The marriage is a vow, right? From this day on, whether it be hardship or whatever, whatever the situation may be, you will always be one. How do the Chinese say it? You enjoy the blessings together and you bear the difficulties together. There's no change. This is your vow. This is your oath to the Lord. From now on, my living, my life, my time, my strength, my ability, my entire person is fully for your will. This is how our Lord Jesus came to this earth. He won't change. He came fully for God's will. Whether it was good or bad, no matter how the situation was, no matter what happened, he would not change. Because he came fully for God's will. He signed the contract. It's a contract. A heavenly contract. Have you made such a contract with God? Or if there's certain difficulties, you just run off. A little pressure comes and then your heart changes. Is this the case? You are here, but your heart is no longer present. That means you're just not present in mind. Does God want such a person? With Paul, he was not present in his body, but he was present in spirit. But with you, you're present in your person, but your spirit is not here. David was not like this. That's why how did he say it? Surely I will not go into my chamber or of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. He didn't care for himself. His own comfort did not matter. He did not care what the situation was. He wanted to build a house for the Lord. In the past, I heard many people say, oh, I am for Christ and the church. I heard many people say that. But it's the strange thing is, after 10 years, they changed. They no longer say it's Christ in the church. They changed. Now, if there's such a change, then what? Did David change? David did not change. David did not change. He truly put himself fully, single-heartedly for God's house, because he vowed to the Lord. We all need such an attitude. It doesn't matter whether people scold you, or no matter what the situation is. I will not give slumber to my eyes. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids. That means even if you're tired, you have to keep going. Even if it's very difficult, you still have to do it. Even if it's bitter, hard, you still have to do it. No matter how the circumstances are, you still stand firm. You have no choice. Such was David's heart. Do not think that God will not appreciate such an attitude. God appreciates such a heart of yours. Until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. This is the highest level of the Song of Ascent. This is how Paul was. The same with Peter. John as well. All the apostles were like that. With all the mature saints, all those who love the Lord, they were all like this. You don't care for yourself. A lot of times we're still caring for ourselves. We're still planning for ourselves. We hope that we all can reach this level. This attitude and this heart's desire is very important. Thank the Lord. And here they said, behold, we heard of it in Ephratah. We heard that the ark was in Ephratah. We found it in the fields of in the woods. What did he say? That's what's he talking about here was that the fact that the ark was taken away by the Philistines and it was being moved from one place to another. As if the ark had no place to go. From one place to another place. Seemed like there was no home for the ark. But nobody thought of it. You think, oh, our Lord doesn't need anything. He's God. He doesn't need anything. Actually, God has a great and important need. He wants to bring his kingdom down here. He wants to establish his center here on earth, his dwelling place. It's also the bride of the Lord Jesus, and it's a kingdom of our Father. This is too important. Do not think that this is a small thing. If you think it's a small thing, then you're really pitiful. It's really pathetic. That's why David was anxious in his heart. He wanted to bring this ark back. Besides, he wants to build a resting place for the ark. This is very important. Just like in those days when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, he did not have a place. He did not have a home. The two disciples asked a very good question. He says, "Rabbi, where do you live?" We all have an address. We all have a home. But when our Lord came to this earth, he did not have a home. He didn't have a home. Today, there are so many Christian groups. Tell me, does the Lord want to go live there? Now I need to ask you again. A building like ours, does the Lord Jesus want to come live here? Would he feel comfortable living here? If you and I are still in the flesh, there's still a lot of things going on here. Tell me, would our glorious Lord want to come live here? Would he come live here? Oftentimes, I don't even dare to invite him to come. If my house is in a big mess, there are all kinds of little creatures running around. There are the lizards. They've got a lot of insects. Would I dare to invite you to come stay with me? Brother Zhang, if I would invite you to come stay at my house, would you? Zhang, and if there are cockroaches in your room, lots of cockroaches around, besides they're really big and they even fly around, what if they would fly onto your head? I think I wouldn't dare to invite you to come stay. And you wouldn't dare to stay even if I were to invite you. This is not a joke. Now, our Lord is so holy, so glorious. Tell me, what should be done? That's why you need to build a dwelling place for the Lord, a resting place. It's not simple. Sometimes you end up not even wanting or daring to go to the meeting because do you feel comfortable sitting in the meeting? Truly so? Speak the truth. if it seems like there's a battle going on and you sit there in the meeting, do you feel at ease? I wouldn't dare go. Not to mention to live there. I don't even want to go meet there. That's why it's not that simple. Brothers and sisters, you need to know that we are here preparing a resting place for the Lord. Can the Lord rest here? Oh Lord, arise, O Lord. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Amen. Actually, such a work is too glorious. This evening, all our hearts should be like the heart of David, fully according to God's heart's desire. In the various places where we're building up the house of the Lord, we all need to offer up our best to the Lord. Do not offer any old thing to the Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus. Besides, here it says, verse 9, let your priests be clothed with righteousness. Because here in the house of the Lord, there needs to be priests. These are holy priests. The church is a house for holy priests. It's not easy. This holiness doesn't mean that you do not sin. Holiness means that your nature has changed. That you are like God's nature. You have God's nature. More like God's nature. How is God's nature? However God's nature is, we should be like Him. So to be priests is not easy. Peter said, it's a holy priesthood. We all need to be holy. And here he goes on to say, for your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. That means to say, have mercy on us. Do not reject us. Because on one hand, we are all unworthy. Who is worthy? That's why David asked the Lord not to reject him. Who is worthy to do such a work? I'm not worthy, neither are you. Even David himself felt that he was unworthy. If you feel that you're worthy, then that's no good. What did the Lord say here? Because David swore an oath. He vowed unto the Lord. the second portion, beginning with verse 11, it's the Lord who swore an oath to David. Too good. You vow to the Lord, and the Lord would also return a vow to you. He would lose against you, and he would not owe you anything. David vowed to him just that he would build him a dwelling place. And the Lord's the vow that the Lord swore to David was much richer. Isn't it so? Besides, it's irrevocable. A sure oath he will not revoke. With David's oath, a vow, perhaps it's not that reliable. But when God makes an oath, it's a sure oath that he will not revoke. I will sit upon your throne, the fruit of your body. NIV says, one of your own descendants I will place on your throne. So the Lord's vow to David was much higher and much more glorious. Amen. So if we're for Zion today, and when you're here to build up the Lord's church, the revelation that the Lord would give you and the reward that he would give you is his throne. It's too great. It's too great. For the Lord has chosen Zion. Nobody saw this, but David saw it. Thank the Lord. Today, you can see it, that we all can see this. This is the grace of the Lord. To see Zion. That is why the Lord responded to him. The Lord answered him, saying, David, actually your vow is what I have chosen a long time ago. It didn't come out of your head, David. David, do not think that you thought of it yourself. It's I who have chosen it. I chose it. For the Lord has chosen Zion, and he has desired it for his dwelling place. And he said, this is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. It's not what David built up. Oftentimes, we think it's our ability and it's our recommendation, but no, it's what God wants. So we need to humble ourselves. We need to ask of the Lord. Lord, give me revelation. Direct me how and what I should do. That's why the Bible tells us all the blueprints of the temple, all the equipment etc., in the temple. We're all given to David through the Holy Spirit. It's not that David had designed it by himself. No. David is not that capable. It's the Holy Spirit who advised David and showed it to him. So today for us, it's the same. We have to ask the Lord. It's not how to build the church 20 years ago. And it's not how to build the church 50 years ago or 70 years ago. What was good 70 years ago is not good enough for today. You have to ask the Lord. Lord, how do we build today? In these last times, in this last period, how do we complete it? We brothers all need to ask. The sisters also need to pray. To say to the Lord, Lord, give us light. Speak to us. Tell me your blueprint. There's still a lot that we do not know, that we have not yet seen. Perhaps the time has not come yet, but the time is now. How do we go forward today? How can we build? How do we build? Not just meeting, and then you go home and you give a message. Oh, that kind of thing does not work. You have to go before the Lord and seek Him in a good way. Lord, what are we still lacking? What else do we need? What more directions do you want to give us? What word do you want to give us? How do we go this last stretch? How can the church go forward? You have to pray and ask the Lord. Brothers, you all need to ask of Him. God will direct us. Yes. Here he said, this is my resting place forever. That's why it is for, this is for him. I will abundantly bless her provisions. And I will satisfy her poor with bread. If this is Zion, if it is God's house here, there should be a sign that there will be abundant provisions. Should be full of spiritual food. This is too important. If there's no food in God's house, it doesn't work that way. Then there need to be an abundance of provisions. You have to say, Lord, you have to have the living word, and you add your experience to that. In God's house, the provisions, the food is very important, just like a restaurant. What's most important in the restaurant? What's most important in the restaurant? Food. If you go in there, there's nothing to eat. Do you have any rice? No. Do you have any vegetables? No. Do you have any meat? A little bit, but it's too hard. It's been here since last month. Oh, no, it's from last year. Oh, dear. The brother comes here, comes empty-handed, and he goes home empty-handed. Tell me, is this God's house? Is this God's house? We brothers, we have to prostrate ourselves before the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, give us to eat, give us food. Your house needs food. Without food, how shall we live? It's not just giving some sermons. God's word should be living. It should satisfy the brothers and sisters inwardly. There's real spiritual supply there. Now, if we brothers do not go ask of the Lord, we don't go before Him. May the Lord have mercy on us. Says, Lord, you say, I will abundantly bless her provision. Lord, give to us, give us. Brothers and sisters need to get some real thing. Without it, we owe it to the brothers and sisters. We also owe it to the Lord. The church of God cannot lack food. The Lord Jesus said, who is a faithful and prudent servant will provide food or dispense food in a timely way. Provide food in a timely fashion. We all need to be like that. This is very important. That's why the Lord promised it. He will satisfy the poor with bread. You know, on the other hand, we all are poor in spirit. We're all poor spiritually. We all need the Lord. And the brothers and sisters all need to enjoy spiritual food. Without the spiritual food, there's no way. The church needs food. Amen. And then he said, I will clothe his priests with salvation. Amen. There's salvation daily. Don't you need salvation? You need salvation daily in the church. We need salvation every day. Because we are not just clothed with salvation, but we're still clothed with our flesh. We need salvation. Amen. And her saints shall shout aloud for joy. That's verse 16. They will shout aloud for joy in the church meetings. If it's full of spiritual food, everyone is satisfied. And all the priests are clothed with salvation, and they're satisfied inwardly. Outwardly, they have the salvation. Tell me, won't all the saints be rejoicing and shouting aloud for joy? If they come empty and they go home empty, and you want the brothers and sisters to shout aloud for joy, would it work? No? They'll walk out the door here and everybody has a long face. They'll look at the watch. They'll look at the time. Don't you think there's such a situation? You see, everybody is laughing. This is not rejoicing. This is just a laughter. Why are you laughing? Because that's how we are. Week after week, that's how it is. Tell me, what should be done? It doesn't work this way. If we have come to this fifth level, the church life should be very rich, full of the word and full of the supply of the Holy Spirit. The brothers all need to put their effort in on this by fasting and praying and ask of the Lord. Go ask the Lord and say, Lord, if you don't give to us, if you don't give us, what should we do? We need food. You are the manna from heaven. Not for myself, but for the brothers and sisters. For the people in your household. The Lord's word cannot be spoken loosely. But if you don't go pursue, you don't seek, you will not get it. We all need to put some effort into it. We all need to go before the Lord. If to enter into this fellowship and the Lord has to speak to you daily. If you don't do this, what should you do? David vowed, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. The Lord also swore an oath to David. If you vow to him, he will vow to you too. The Lord would provide to you. The Lord would give it to you. You have to believe this. Amen. And then I will make the horn of David grow. The horn of David is the Lord's kingdom and his power and his authority. If his kingdom is built up like that, it's full of power. His enemies could be shamed, and it could defeat Satan. And if this is the case, then there'll be no problems in the church. Otherwise, it's full of problems. I will prepare a lamp. I'll set a lamp for my anointed. Thank the Lord. There's a bright lamp there, shiny. There's no darkness there. This is how the church life should be. We consecrate ourselves. in order to get a glorious church. Today, I don't want the church. I don't want the church. Oh, today I don't want a church, but I want a glorious church. Amen. Not just Christ and the church, but it's Christ and the glorious church. Amen. You say Christ and the church? That cannot satisfy us. What kind of a church? A poor church? A quarrelsome church? A church without food? Empty? I don't want such a church. I want a glorious church. I pray to the Lord. The church in Bangkok. A church in Yala. A church in Hachai. Right? A church in Vinsa. You all need to pray. Lord, we want to get a glorious church. A victorious church. A rich church. So that you can rest here. So you can feel at ease here. And the Lord can rest here. Do you want such a church? Amen. Isn't it so? Wouldn't it be good to have such a church? We all need to pray. Oh, quickly build up such a church. This is what God wants. And this is also our goal. Forget about the past. Forgetting the past and pressing forward, pressing upward. We want to reach this. This is what God wants. In the end, God revealed to us what He wants. This is what I want. This is what I have chosen. And I want to rest here. It's His glory. In the end, God will gain His glory. It's God who reached this goal. Oh, there's still one more verse. Don't forget about it. And the last verse is very important. I will close this enemies with shame. Don't forget about this. At this point, God's enemies will be clothed with shame. The church is built up. And now God is glorified. And we receive salvation. And His enemies get all the shame. And why don't you want such a church? Amen. Would it be good to have such a condition? Amen. Does everyone say amen to this? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But upon Himself, His crown shall flourish. David's crown would shine, would flourish and shine. This is two glories. This is God's will. So when we come to the fifth level, God has reached His goal. It's almost over, the Song of Ascent. Psalm by psalm, level by level, climbing up. May the Lord accomplish the building up of His church according to His word. We do have the hope of glory. Isn't that right, Virasak? Don't we have the hope of glory? Amen. And tomorrow, we'll come to Psalm 133. It's good. It's just right. Tomorrow is the last day. We'll come to Psalm 133. Oh, Lord Jesus, lead us up to the peak, to the climax. Amen. That we reach the goal. Amen. May all of you have a good night's sleep, good rest.